Right. Now, on the line, yes, we have the Golf Councillor, Waitemata Ward and Hauraki Golf Councillor, Mike Lee. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Yay, I've got the buttons right. That's excellent. Good morning, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us. What we thought we'd talk about today was a little bit about this bed tax that's set to affect Waiheke accommodation providers. And for me, well, just I'm going to get you to give us a little bit of background on the issue in a moment, but for me it seems that a lot of the beautiful tranquility of Waiheke is down to the fact that the accommodation industry uses pre-existing houses. And it seems to me that, this is going to hit those people pretty hard. Is that fair?
I think it will hit them hard, and I don't think it's a fair comment, but I don't believe the accommodation tax is fair at all.
Why not, Mike?
Well, first of all, I dispute whether it is a targeted rate. I don't like to quibble, but they're calling it the accommodation provider's targeted rate, and I do not believe it is actually a targeted rate.
Targeted rates are supposed to be for things that the council suddenly needs to do and can charge a small part of the community that benefits from those things, right? Like,
yes,
say, if we needed a new wharf, we might have a targeted rate on Waiheke, but that's kind of different, isn't it?
It's rather different. And, you know, if say, a group of people, Arran Bay or Ostend, say, look, we need a wharf badly,
yeah.
Council, we want you to provide a wharf, and the council will say, well, would you pay extra for that? And they would say, we're pretty sure that we would. We'll have a meeting, and yes, we'll pay extra for that service that we vitally want, we vitally need, and we'll take it from there. This is not like that at all. This is something that was imposed out of the blue without any meaningful accommodation. I'll come back to that.
Yep.
And it's just another revenue grab. And it's not fair to even call it a targeted rate.
It does seem to be, just from what you say and my own knowledge about targeted rates, it seems to be quite a different thing, given that the whole idea is to provide tourism infrastructure across the whole of Auckland. Aren't we the tourism infrastructure?
Indeed. Look, however which way you turn this and look at it, it doesn't stack up. And it's inequitable and totally unfair. And it's just another example of this council grabbing revenue from ratepayers over and above the very high revenue it is already taking, especially from Waiheke Island. Waiheke Island people are already paying very high rates, and this hits a double impact on a lot of people. And we do not need AET or the council to provide visitors to Waiheke. That's really taken care of through Waiheke's reputation and international publications like Lonely Planet. So they're not providing an extra service at all. In fact, parts, and that's another really, really awful aspect of this tax, is that, or rates grab, is that parts of the region don't pay it at all. And they benefit, I guess, from things like supercars at Pukekohe, and they don't have to pay anything.
No.
So it's just unfair all the way around.
In fact, aren't the local authorities in Auckland a little tentative around over-promoting Waiheke at the moment, because our infrastructure is already under so much pressure? So
it seems
to me that if they're, we don't actually need that many more visitors, and so we're going to pay but not benefit that much from this tax.
Exactly. We don't need that extra promotion. It's not helpful right now. But the danger is things become unsustainable in terms of infrastructure.
Mm.
So that it just doesn't make sense. But I think it comes back to an election promise made by Phil Goff when he was running for mayor. He said he would reduce the projected rates increases in the long-term plan from 3.5% as they were under Mayor Brown to 2.5%, and he said he'd make up the difference by finding major cost savings. Well, he failed to do that, and so he's added this so-called targeted rate and a bunch of other ones.
It is a Phil Goff-driven thing, isn't it?
It's not a bureau. I mean, a lot of stuff comes from the bureaucrats in the council and the CCOs. This one is a Goff derived idea, and it's not a good one. And it shows also a lack of experience in how local government works and even how the rating system works. So this is legally dubious, I have to say.
Sorry. Legally dubious. You think there'll be a legal challenge?
Well, there is a legal challenge because this is the second phase of this bed tax, so-called bed tax. The first phase was last year when they hit the motels on Waiheke and lodges.
Yeah.
And so the Airbnb online providers came out of that and thought, oh, we should grab them, hook them into the net as well. So the Hotel Association of New Zealand is proceeding against the council in the High Court.
They've gone ahead with that.
Yeah, my advice to the Waiheke Airbnb people is to try and become a party to those proceedings.
Yeah.
Because I think it would be a there is the ability to knock the whole thing over because it is so fraught and inequitable and dubious.
So even beyond the, as you say, dubious nature of the idea, some of the details too have raised the hackles of Waiheke people, and there is a petition going around online, and because of the visibility of these online petitions, I happen to know you signed it, Mike. I hope that's all right for me to say on air, because you're clearly on the side of the accommodation providers on this issue. But this petition is raising some points around the process as much as the idea. No consultation with accommodation providers, the retrospective nature of the bylaw. It seems like you have to go back and tell them how many times your sleep out was rented out last year, and they'll charge you for this year on that basis, even if you decide not to rent it out. So that retrospective thing seems to be hurting. No cooling down period. I'm not entirely sure what the petitioners mean by that. You might be able to help us.
I'm not sure about the cooling down period, but the other points are completely valid.
Yeah.
I certainly gave my support to the petition to show my solidarity with the affected people on Waiheke. One of the key aspects is that it's inequitable in that it's applied to Waiheke and parts of Auckland and not applied to other parts of Auckland, which is totally unfair, like the whole of the Waitakere city in the west coast and parts of Rodney.
Why did they get exemptions?
All I can say is politics as usual. I believe that in order to get the bed tax over the line, Gough had to do deals with certain councillors in his support group. So he gave them a free pass. So they got off. So in the original bed tax for the hotels, he was hoping to get $26 million. And he's only getting half of that from the hotels because he had to cut those other areas out in order to get the thing across the line. Now that's not good process. That's appalling process in my view.
Well, it's only going to empower the disenchanted over here, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the one reservation I have with the direction of the petition is it says we want to come out of Zone B where you pay this thing and go into Zone C where you don't pay this thing, which is understandable. But it actually, the danger is that you're implying that the thing's okay except we're in the wrong bit. The whole thing is wrong in my view.
Yeah, and you can understand why people sort of trying to escape as best they can, but your point as a citywide politician with responsibilities for the Gulf, obviously, is that the whole thing's wrong. The whole thing has a kind of injustice built into it, and that there might be other ways to fund the infrastructure we need for tourism. I know that our tourism infrastructure in New Zealand is under a lot of pressure, and there are various things going around the country. Yeah, go on, mate.
But it's not going to tourism infrastructure.
That's right.
It's meant to be going into AT when, God knows what they spend it on, but they do not spend it on tourism infrastructure. That's the first fallacy, falsehood about this whole thing. If it was, don't forget Waiheke is already paying a wharf tax, which has zero transparency.
I know.
We're not sure what we get for that tax.
Well, sometimes we get a minor improvement to the wharf on Rakino. That's what we get. Now, let's not go to the wharf tax because that's a long running sore with Waiheke, isn't it? But, okay, so what's the best outcome possible for Waiheke people here? Do you think they should join the action that's being taken if they can?
My advice is, first of all, they need to front the council itself and set out their case, how unjust this is. And the second thing I would explore is some legal action, whether they join the Hotel Association of New Zealand action or have their own action. I really do think that it's legally questionable and should be able to be challenged with a reasonable chance of success, in my view. It's not, put it this way, this thing is so dubious and fraught that it's not mission impossible to take it on legally.
Yeah, that's a great place to stop, Mike. Thank you so much for your time on this Saturday morning, and good luck in the fight against the bed tax and its implications for Waiheke accommodation providers. I might be going too far here, but it seems to me that in a way, because if people are forced out of this way of providing accommodation to visitors, we're going to end up with hotels. Now, that's a big leap, and Mike Lee didn't say that. That's me. Mike Lee, thanks very much. Have a lovely weekend.